Thousands of code-corrupted constructs marched on the trenchworks about the deep-core mines, only to join the mangled carpet of warped flesh and rusted bionics belonging to units that had failed before them. Omnid Tok'ora did not know why such repetitive attempts were made. Only he knew the significance of the mines. Perhaps Idris Krendel had come to understand the vulnerability they represented. Perhaps the Iron Warrior's warsmith was siege-fevered and simply wanted the installation and gaping entrance to the Orticus Chasma because Tok'ora denied it to him. Either way, the Iron Warriors and their Dark Mechanicum allies were coming to claim the mines as their own. "Authorize the marauders to pursue," the Archmagos ordered. "What else do we have in the sector?"
The Canis Corporealis and supporting Skitarii lay siege to the habstacks of Metra Minoria, my lord, a Diagnosticorum tech priest nearby announced.
"Have Princeps Venedict break off his attack," Tok'ora said, "and take station over the trenchworks."
"As you command, Archmagos."
Tok'ora felt his way through the blizzard of minds fighting on the planet below. Blinking from one experience to another, the Archmagos found himself once more amongst the searing beams and stub-chewed nightmare of the Traitor Forge world. Ultic 11 Quistron was ranking alpha of the 51st Tenor Neutraloid. The rangers of the Neutraloid had been stationed in the Orticus trenchworks for half a year. As Tok'ora established phylactic communion with the Skitarii officer, he found Quistron on his rounds, accompanied by a trio of servo skulls that orbited him like a system of moons. Quistron trudged through the ash and soot of the outer trench. From orbit, the trenchworks appeared as concentric cracks about the colossal openings of the deep core mine shafts, with access ways dug between the outer trench and the crescents of reserve trenches running within. It was the Ranger Alpha's daily duty to patrol the length of the trenches, auditing ammunition and recording the service requirements of equipment, emplacements, and Skitarii soldiers alike. The 51st Tenor Neutraloid wore the burns and punctures of battle on their warplate with cold pride. Regardless of Ultic 11 Quistron's unvoiced assessment of the deep core mines and their strategic pointlessness, the Rangers had secured the excavated trenchworks and held them against increasingly savage assaults. But for the sound of distant battle, the outer trench was quiet. As the hydraulics of Quistron's long legs took him up the length of the excavation, his servo skulls monitored, audited, and assessed the battle readiness of each section. Skitarii manned emplacements, surrounded by crates of ammunition and heavy-duty power packs. The barrels of heavy stubbers, autocannons, and eradication beamers reached out from the outer trench, creating an overlapping kill zone of fire arcs in the blasted wasteland beyond. Cybernetic soldiers peered over the edge of the trench, their telescoptics extending, while their comrades made adjustments to mortars. Columns of rangers clutching galvanic rifles moved up and down the line, saluting their alpha with neuspheric blurts. Their bionics were smashed and jury-rigged, their filthy red trench cloaks ash-stained rags. As Ultic 11 Quistron passed, he acknowledged the uplinked status reports of sub-alphas and the sightings of Skitarii soldiers leaning into transuranic weaponry, their optics screwed into scopes and long barrels aimed across the trench top.
"Alpha Quistron, listen to me carefully," Tok'ora intruded.
The Skitarii officer stopped, his servo skulls gliding round about him.
"Archmagos,"
Quistron acknowledged, feeling Tok'ora's presence like the channeled intervention of the machine god himself.
"You honor my workings and my trench."
"In a little under 3 minutes, your trench will suffer what appears from orbit to be a very determined attack. The enemy is on the move, Quistron unit. They must not be allowed to take the Orticus Chasma. I forbid it. The Omnisire forbids it."
"I understand, Archmagos," Quistron transmitted. "Shall I send for the tech priest Dominus, my lord?"
"Do so," Tok'ora ordered. "I fear we shall need him."
Selected. Dentrica 3 of 3. Engage Neural Congress. Wireless auto shunt acquired. Uploading.
System shock.
By the time Tech Priest Dominus, Theronymous Gant, returned with the servo skull the Skitari Alpha had sent, trench augurs had picked up signals of the approaching horde. An army of corrupt constructs was on the march, the ghoulish light of afflicted workings like a rash on the diseased darkness. Lifting his head above the trench and focusing his telescoptics, Ultic 11 Quistron saw the silhouettes of the enemy approach. Through the derelict remains of once great factories and production complexes, the Dark Mechanicum troops advanced. Spindly automata, warp-fevered Skitari, bloated gun servitors with horrifically augmented heretech priests driving them on. While Tokora had entrusted the tech priest Dominus with the security of the deep core mines, Gant had entrusted Alpha Quistron with the fortification of their position.
"Well?"
the ancient tech priest asked crabbily, his cable-shot torso and the spidery hydraulics of his legs hidden beneath his cloak.
"Looks like the bolstered ranks of the Gerontius Forge Temple Guard," Quistron informed his master.
"Did I not read that the Gerontius Forge was destroyed?" Gant said.
"It seems, my lord, that what remained of their number have been salvaged and infused with further corruption and dark purpose."
"Something's not right, Archmagos," Gant said.
Tokora concurred.
"The Archmagos agrees, master," Quistron said.
"The enemy would not mount an attack on this site with such remnants," Gant said, almost to himself. "Alpha Quistron, ready your Skitari. I want this horde of walking detritus disassembled and returned to the scrap heap as soon as they are in range."
"Affirmative, Dominus."
Gant turned and extended the long metal talon of a spindly bionic hand out towards a pair of robed servitors that followed him.
"You had better fetch my weapons," the ancient said. "It seems there will be bloodshed."
The servitors did not have bottom jaws and simply nodded their obedience before making for the trench access way.
"Avengers out of Autolica,"
Omnid Tokora said, his words echoing through Alpha Quistron's brain and cogitated coils.
"Inbound."
Moments later, the dish array set in the remnants of the derelict surface mining installation confirmed number and heading. Tech priest Dominus Gant had already heard the throaty rumble of the fighter wing's approach.
"Rangers," Quistron ordered, "take cover. Aerial assault."
"They wish to soften us up, eh?"
Gant rambled on. Switching vox channels, the tech priest relayed his orders to the ordnance officers and priests of the Ordo Reductor waiting amongst a nest of weapons platforms situated between the deep core mine openings.
"Targets inbound. There's a storm coming. I can feel it in my workings. Make it so."
The strike fighters bled from the darkness of the night sky. Their black fuselages were adorned with spikes and razored wire that wound itself about the lengths of the aircraft. Wings were mounted with blades and serrations, while their engines choked and guttered, leaving behind a trail of warp-scorched vapor. As the tech priest Dominus's servitors returned with their master's ornate weaponry, the drones weighed down with extra ammunition, Tokora heard the boom of Ordo Reductor cannons with Quistron's ears. The sky above the trench works turned into a maelstrom of lightning and thunder. The heavens were rocked by the flash of detonating explosive shells and the electromagnetic pulse that crackled through the air like a firework, dissipating in the smoke and shot. As the first Dark Mechanicum strike fighters descended for an attack run, several of the frontrunners were torn to fiery pieces. Ordo Reductor cannonry blitzed through the sky, turning Avengers into fireballs of unnatural flame. Other aircraft banked to avoid the shellstorm, but crackled with electromagnetic resonance. As the warp-encrusted workings of their engines died, the strike fighters began to plummet and spin, thunderbolting into the ash and ruin of the battle-torn wasteland below.
"Intensify!"
the tech priest Dominus ordered, prompting the ordnance officers to drive their servitor crews onto swifter clearance and firing. As the first wave of Avengers turned to fiery streaks and raining scrap, the flesh-fused servitor pilots of the following strike fighters accelerated into a dive, bringing the swarm of Dark Mechanicum aircraft into a ground-hugging column. The lead Avengers howled across the trenchworks, As they did so, their bolt cannons roared to life.
"Take cover!"
Alpha Quistron ordered, grabbing a nearby cybernetic soldier by the shoulder. The Skitarius had been tempted to take a blast at the passing aircraft, but Quistron had pushed him back to his post.
"Your targets are out there," Quistron told him, slamming his great cloaked back against the earthworks of ash and stone.
As the rotor cannons tore up the trench, blitzing through the stepping stone walkways and boggy shallows, the tech priest Dominus was unmoved. The crabby ancient stared up at spiked fuselages as they flashed overhead. He had activated a stasis field that enveloped his form with a globed shimmer. Several Skitari crossing the trench from an accessway were bolt-riddled into thrashing corpses that came to rest awkwardly in the shallows. One of Gant's servitors disappeared in a shredding storm of bolts, and a las cannon emplacement detonated, sending Skitari flying and bathing the trench in the arcing crack of unleashed energies. As the timer on Gant's stasis field expired and deactivated the device, a shower of arrested bolts cascaded into the shallows of the trench, dropping before the tech priest Dominus. Lifting an eradication ray and aiming it after the swarm of fighter aircraft, Theronymus Gant blasted an Avenger out of existence. "Enemy in range," a sub-alpha reported. Amongst the ruins, the corrupted had broken into a charge. Soot and ash billowed about them as gangly automata strode and cybernetic abominations of the Gerontius Temple Guard charged. Omnid Tokora moved from Skitari Ranger to Ranger, experiencing their opening salvos as his own. Transuranic arquebuses bucked as they delivered their monstrous shells. Automata dropped in a shower of shattered workings and rancid bioplastic. The chatter of heavy stubbers filled the air while the searing beams of emplacement weaponry cut across the field of battle.
"Present!" Alpha Quistron ordered, prompting the rangers of the 51st Tenor Neutraloid to rest their galvanic rifles on the top of the trench.
As they did so, the Dark Mechanicum Skitari accelerated, chewing up the ash and rubble with their hydraulics.
"Mortars cleared to fire!"
the tech priest Dominus voxed back to the reserve trench, and the bombards behind him launched their shells into the sky. Descending ordnance rocketed rubble and dust upwards, blasting bionic limbs from the advancing temple guard. Fat gun servitors, ripe with corruption, exploded, and deadly automata were knocked from their feet.
"Lock your targets!"
Ultic 11 Quistron commanded. Tokora felt the calibration of targeters as the Skitari Rangers zeroed in on the charging constructs.
"Fire!"
Quistron said, his cogitator measuring the range to the closing enemy. In fearful unison, servitor shells blasted from the barrels of the galvanic rifles. As though a stretched wire had swept across the battlefield, the temple guard were yanked back. What followed was a sequence of explosions as the servitor shells overloaded the power cells and reactors of the wounded cybernetic soldiers. With corrupt Skitari falling and detonating about them, code-mad temple guard ran on with suicidal abandon. Mortars rocketed metal and warped flesh up at the heavens. Heavy stubbers and Cognis autocannon emplacements cut through corrupt constructs, bullet streams scything through them in swathes.
"Fire at will,"
Quistron transmitted, authorizing his soldiers to pick off temple guard who, by some miracle, had negotiated the unfolding havoc of the approach. Omnid Tokora felt Skitari slip from his phylactic communion as the Autolican Avengers came around for another pass. As the Archmagos felt the Skitari die, he moved from the cold perspective of one to another. The battlefield was total pandemonium. Mortar fire tore up the ground, cannons split the sky asunder. The beams of lasguns stuttered down into the trenches, while servitor shells blasted cybernetic soldiers into paralyzed wrecks. Bolts shredded through rangers and their ash-stained cloaks. Heavy stubbers punched slugs through the ripe vat flesh of gun servitors. As insane constructs leapt into the trench, feverishly attempting to climb up the other side, Ultic 11 Quistron leveled his phosphor blast pistol and enveloped a scrambling cybernetic soldier in a blaze of chemical brilliance. A gangling automaton, all scything limbs and madness, appeared at the foot of the trench, reaching down with mechadendrites to seize a pair of rangers aiming their rifles up at the robotic nightmare. grapnels stabbing them through the chest. The possessed machine tossed the Skitarii's bodies back into the advancing Dark Mechanicum constructs. Lifting his eradication ray, Theronymous Gant blasted the mechanical monstrosity, turning the automaton's appendage weaponry into searing absence. With every spreading stream of energy, the tech priest Dominus stripped the possessed machine of the devastating tools of its trade. Finally, Gant took the automaton's legs out from under it, allowing its barrel torso and head to crash uselessly to the ground. While Skitarii fought for their lives against the suicidal rush of Dark Mechanicum troops, Omnid Tok'ora had the luxury of detachment. To Quistron and his rangers, the battle was a blizzard of track trajectories, the flash of warnings and spooling data. Tok'ora could see the battle beyond the frenzy of impending death and the code-shrieking constructs of chaos. He saw marauders from the Tarantis 8 of 70 roaring in overhead, and the thunderous approach of Omniscient God Machines. Transmitting coordinates for an airstrike with surgical accuracy, Tok'ora watched through Skitarii optics as a wall of flame erupted along the trench line. With the deep chunter of marauder bombers passing above, charging constructs were lost to the inferno. As the flame cleared and charred cybernetic remains rained down on the field of battle, Quistron peered through the settling devastation. "Enemy armor on the approach," the Skitarii officer announced. Phylactically blinking into Quistron's experience of the battle, Omnid Tok'ora could see a column of armored personnel carriers bouncing over and through the ruins, their tracks pulverizing the rubble. The rhinos were battered and streaked with rust, their exhaust quads streaming black smoke. Spiked dozer blades smashed through the stunted remains of buildings, while barbed tracks mulched through the bones and corroded bionics of the dead.
"Pass the word," Theronymous Gant called to an injured Skitarii soldier. "Mortars to adjust for armor approach."
Tok'ora ordered the bombers around for a second run, but his calculations swiftly told him that they would be too late. The armored personnel carriers were stopping for nothing. Spreading out, they smashed through the rearguard of their own infantry. With constructs and the bodies of Dark Mechanicum Skitarii impaled on spiked dozer blades and bouncing broken off armor plate, the Archmagos realized that the rhinos intended to breach the trenchworks at any cost. Servitor rounds and stubber slugs sparked off the dented shells of the rhinos as they tore on towards the trench. Las cannons seared beams through the hulls of the carriers, but failed to bring them to a halt. Smashing through Dark Mechanicum forces and leaving a haze of blood and oil in their wake, the rhinos' supercharged engines roared. Smoke raged from their exhausts as the rusted carriers accelerated up the mounds of dead. Thrashing their barbed tracks up the ramp of mangled combat chassis, bionics, and charred bodies, the rhinos accelerated into a messy jump. Tracks raged overhead as Quistron and Theronymous Gant lowered their heads. Most of the armored carriers failed to reach the other side of the trench. Their speed and mounting had been sufficient, but the trench wall of mulched ash and rubble simply collapsed under their weight. As the tracks spun, the wall fell away, allowing the vehicles to slide back into the trench.
"Axe!"
the tech priest Dominus said. His remaining servitor, laden down with ammunition and weaponry, presented his master with the cog-serrated blade of his power axe.
"Grenades!"
Ultic 11 Quistron commanded, drawing several Skitarii rangers to his side. Scuttling across to the closest rhino, Theronymous Gant swung his axe at the vehicle. Burying it in the metal of the rear access hatch, the tech priest Dominus tore the door aside. Quistron brought up his pistol. Whatever attempted to exit the vehicle would die. The rangers prepared to lob their grenades through the opening, persuading the vehicle's occupants to emerge into certain death. Omnid Tok'ora took in the interior of the rhino. Through the optics of the Skitarii and Alpha Quistron, he had every angle possible. He only required one to confirm what he was looking at. Within the armored personnel carrier was a single servitor, a miserable thing savagely wired into the vehicle. Its hands and feet were fused to the controls, and its thighs had been power riveted to the seat. The armored transport carried no additional troops. The space was taken up by a monstrous contraption,
counting down on a series of chrome dials. Omnid Tokora knew a bomb when he saw one.
"Get out of there!"
the Archmagos transmitted, his warning like a shot through the minds of surrounding Skitarii and their officers. Tearing his power axe from the mangled hatch, Theronomus Gant scuttled into a retreat. Quistron pushed his Skitarii rangers away from the trap, but a few seconds later, everything turned to flame. Tokora flinched as the bomb detonated. Safe in the diagnostic quorum, high above the battlefield, it was surprising how much it affected him. For a moment, Phylactic Communion was broken. The Archmagos could see the brief flash of detonations from orbit. Pulling feeds from the Marauder bombers high above the battlefield, tormented by swarms of Autolican strike fighters, Tokora could now appreciate the enemy's plan. He watched the glorious dread of its execution as rhino after rhino, rigged to blow, blasted craters into the earthworks and sent rivers of flame through the network of trenches. Establishing communion with the ranger designated Ansis 86 Altiga, Tokora found the Skitarii soldier stumbling about the decimated trenchworks in the daze of system shock. A trench cloak trailed him aflame, and the cybernetic soldier limped, a piece of shrapnel embedded in the workings of his knee. Watching through the soldier's remaining cracked optic, Tokora saw the Skitarius's vision flicker with different filters and the hiss of static. His overlays streamed with data and emergency protocols. Through the miasma of information, Tokora saw that many of the rhinos had not detonated. Helping grievously wounded Skitarii soldiers to their feet, Ansis 86 Altiga found Theronomus Gant on the ground before one such vehicle. Reacting to his imperatives, Altiga grabbed the tech priest Dominus and dragged him from the shallows. He was heavy, even with half of his spidery legs blasted free. The rhino was a rust-eaten wreck of a transport. One of its tracks was broken, while the other thrashed off the ground where it had become trapped in the collapsing trench. Its coloring was the same as the others, dull gray, bar a peeling stripe of black and yellow chevrons. It bore some kind of faded iconography on its flanks. Leering at Altiga was a slender metal skull atop an eight-pointed star. The symbol of the dreaded Iron Warriors. The side of the vehicle suddenly crumpled, as though some monstrous force had struck the hull from the inside. Altiga pulled the tech priest Dominus through the boggy shallows and up against the far wall of the trench. One of Gant's arms was a tangled mess of servos and cabling, but he managed to draw back his scorched hood with the sparking talon of the other. His face was a mask of baroque augmentations and burned flesh. His optics faded in and out as he pulled himself up to see what was happening within the crashed rhino. The impacts continued, warping the hull out of shape. Simultaneously, a great crackling claw stabbed up through the rusted metal of the compartment roof, tearing aside the plate as though it were foil. Like hulking monsters, the Iron Warriors erupted from the armored personnel carrier. Clawing, stamping, and barging their way out of the shattered wreck, the flesh-cursed obliterators destroyed the vehicle from within. The foremost unholy fusion of man and weapon bellowed his bitter jubilation. The clubs of his hands had long breached the confines of his plate and gauntlets. Splinters of plate sat embedded in his warped flesh, while the clubs themselves were weighted with the barrels and nozzles of heavy weaponry. A Skitarii ranger stumbled and splashed in the shallows of the trench, desperately trying to prime a damaged rifle. Slapping it with the palm of a gauntlet, the Skitarii struggled to get some life out of the sparking weapon. Lifting his arms, the first of the Iron Warriors blasted forth a subatomic stream of agitation from nozzles set in his fused fists. The superheated blast enveloped the ranger, who never got to fire his weapon, instead turning into a thrashing madman enveloped in sickly flame before drifting away on the breeze as vaporized dust. Another Iron Warrior barged past with a snarl, his armor barely holding the abominate brawn of his form. The flesh metal and warped muscle of his arm glowed as he fired streams of searing energy. The beams cut Skitarii soldiers in half and blasted injured rangers into the ground. Tokora
couldn't believe it. He was going to lose the Orticus Chasma deep core mines. Like fireships set amongst a flotilla, armoured personnel carriers had been rigged to blow, blasting the trench works into a waterlogged mess and obliterating the Skitarii who held them. Then, the Iron Warriors had arrived in a second wave. Unleashing themselves on the Adeptus Mechanicus in their moment of disorientation, the Iron Warriors intended to force their way to the mines. Perhaps more Chaos Space Marines and corrupt constructs of the Dark Mechanicum would arrive by gunship or lighter once the brutes had dealt with the Ordo Reductor and their artillery pieces. The Iron Warriors seemed to get some dread pleasure from killing the wounded Skitarii of the Outer Trench. It was not a thirst for blood, Omnid T'Kora decided, ever studying the ways of his foe. The Obliterators seemed to enjoy the horror and anarchy of battle, the violent indulgence and merciless exercise of their considerable abilities, which only victory allowed. The mutated Iron Warriors were like bitter monsters of old, things that lived in the bowels of the earth, only venturing to the surface to bring destruction to those who stood in their way. T'Kora watched as the hulking horrors clawed the Skitarii of the 51st Tenor Neutraloid into chunks of raw flesh and dismembered bionics. He saw one beast stream furious gouts of green flame from nozzles set in his monstrous palms, turning the demolished earthworks into an inferno. All along the line, Chaos Space Marines were bursting out of rhinos and unleashing their abomination on the Skitarii soldiers. Tearing his burning cloak from his back, Ansys 86 Ultiga limped a few steps back and fell to his knees beside the tech priest Dominus. T'Kora heard the Skitarius offer a prayer to the machine god, an appeal for assistance, for victory in his hallowed name. Grimly watching the havoc unfold, the Archmagos thought to answer such a prayer. Stripping away the Skitarii soldier's humanity, T'Kora dialed back the emotional framework of his operations. Searing Ultiga's focus to a narrowing set of concerns, T'Kora blessed the cybernetic soldier with ignorance. He was an empty vessel, like a weapon without ammunition, ready for the machine god's intervention. As the voice of the Omnisire, T'Kora intended on taking Ultiga's body for his own. The beating of his heart, the powerful hydraulics of his augmented limbs, and the capabilities of a construct bereft of fear. Something huge kicked the shattered frame of a burning rhino aside. Behind it was a monstrous iron warrior, hideous of features and bristling with weapons whose barrels protruded from the huge clubs of his fists. Many of the obliterators had forged on towards the reserve trenches, clawing, stamping, streaming, and blasting their flesh-spawned corruptions down at the Skitarii there. The rifles of rangers, in turn, barked and flared, thudding servitor shells into warped flesh. The thing standing before Ortega and Theronymous Gant had held back to enjoy the killing. Resting an armored boot on the back of a ranger's head, the Iron Warrior pushed the Skitarius down into the shallows, waiting for him to drown. The barrels of rotary autocannons turned within the splayed flesh metal of the Chaos Space Marine's arms as he willed them to whirring intensity. With a belt of ammunition spawned from his monstrous flesh and feeding the weapons, the Iron Warrior blasted autofire into dying Skitarii attempting to crawl away. The thing seemed to take a dark pleasure in playing with its victims' expectations before ripping through their bodies with short streams of fire. Two murderous executions along, the Iron Warrior found Ultiga and his tech priest Dominus. T'Kora reached down into the priest's burned robes. He knew he could not drag Gant to safety. Fading in and out of operative consciousness, the tech priest Dominus could not help himself. Inside the scorched material, T'Kora found Gant's stasis field generator. The device was battered and shorting. Setting the defense field to maximum strength and length of time, T'Kora had Ansys 86 Ultiga limp backwards. As a personal defense, the field could not protect two, and it activated only as soon as the Skitarii soldier was clear. Hobbling back, the piece of shrapnel still embedded in the workings of his knee, T'Kora saw the hulking obliterator notice him. The Iron Warrior raised an arm, his mouth wrapping itself around a crooked grin. Willing his rotary cannon to blurring revolution, he aimed the weaponized limb at Ultiga and the tech priest, Dominus. As the revolving barrels blazed with a cone of rapid fire, a shellstorm erupted. Tokora looked about in desperation. Death was but seconds away. There was little time for any plan more complex than snatching up a piece of armored plate from where it sat, half submerged in the shallows. Originally part of a detonating rhino, the fragment was quite large. Holding it up before him like a shield, Tokora just got it between Ansis 86 Ultiga and the furious stream of shells. The projectiles pranged and sparked off the armored plate. The Skitarius was knocked this way and that as the force of impacts turned him left, right, and stumbling back. As the Iron Warrior swept back and forth with his blazing cannon, Gant's stasis field stopped the swarms of shells mere inches from his smashed body. Sparking and shorting within his robes, the damaged field generator began to falter. The globed shielding spat and dissipated, showering the ground with shells that had been suddenly arrested in their deadly path. Fizzling on and off, the stasis field caught much of the second stream of fire, blasted Gant's way. Several shells got through, however, slamming into the tech priest's cable-threaded torso. Gant went to grunt, but was frozen moments later in his ongoing agony as the field re-established its integrity. As the Iron Warrior brought both arms up and unleashed the full fury of his warp-spawned weaponry, Tokora was blasted back against the demolished trench wall. Autofire hammered into the plate and blasted several fingers from the gauntleted hand with which the Skitarius held it. Dents and pits began to appear in the back of the armored plate, indicating that it could not take much more of a mauling. Waiting for a moment's respite, and with the Iron Warrior stomping through the shallows towards him, Tokora heard the rotary autocannons whir to a stop. As he flung the armored plate away, the Skitari soldier leapt for the trench wall. This was not as easy as it appeared, with shrapnel embedded in the workings of his leg. Hauling the Skitarius's body up with the hydraulics of his arms, Tokora heard the obliterator splash through the demolished trench towards him, his cannons rotating with a sickly whine. Any second, the Iron Warrior would thrash him with autofire. Pulling himself up, Tokora reached down for the Skitari soldier's damaged leg and hauled it over the edge. Gunfire tore into the trench wall, ripping up the rubble, ash, and sludge that crowned the trench top. Omnid Tokora kept his head down as the Chaos Space Marine roared his frustration, gunning his rotary cannons into furious blurs. Hiding on the far side of the trench, Tokora found himself amongst the mangled malaise of the smouldering dead. Rolling away from the gunfire, the Archmagos was soon tangled in bodies and charred bionics. Lying flat on the ground, with his cracked optic pointing up into the sky, he saw the last of the Marauder bombers shot out of the air by the swarming Autolican strike fighters. As the rotary cannon fire died away, Tokora could hear the Iron Warrior sloshing back and forth through the trench waters, attempting to reacquire him. Lying still, Tokora felt something tighten about his throat. It was, in fact, Ansis 86 Ultiga's throat that was being throttled. A warp-corrupted temple guard, burned and blasted by the airstrike, was still driven by some rancid imperative or fetid desire to destroy in the name of his overlords. He had the smouldering servos and skeletal framework of his single operative arm appendage clamped around Ortega's neck like a vice. Tokora monitored the failing life signs of the Skitarius as the Dark Mechanicum soldier hissed static and hauled for all it was worth. Fortunately for Tokora, it was not worth very much, and he felt the scorched servos begin to give. Slamming his armored elbow into his adversary's chest, Tokora felt something break beneath the burned flesh. Repeating the savage maneuver and bringing Ultiga's entire weight down on the code-corrupted soldier, Tokora felt the hold give way as something split within his foe's ripe torso. Like a fruit, he burst, leaking blood and stinking innards out onto the battlefield. Crawling arm over augmented arm, Tokora dragged Ultiga's body along the trench and away from the Iron Warrior. A little way up, he found himself staring up the gaping barrel of a heavy grav cannon. The weapon belonged to a trench emplacement. Slumped against it, with his gauntlet still wrapped around it, was a Skitarii gunner. Trying his best to be silent, Tokora slithered down into the emplacement like a serpent. Pulling the bolt-mauled gunner away from the grav cannon, the Archmagos checked the weapon's power and priming. Tokora suddenly heard the stamping splash of the obliterator coming towards him. Grabbing the swivel crank, he thrashed the handle round and around, feverishly turning the weapon's mounting. As the Iron Warrior reached Tokora, he brought up the flesh metal of his appendage cannon. The monster snarled his frustration away, thinking that he finally had his hiding target. Instead, the Iron Warrior found himself, as Tokora had moments before, staring down the barrel of the heavy grav cannon. Charging the weapon, the Archmagos tugged on the trigger. The Chaos Space Marine was broken in two by the gravitic force of the cannon. Smashing the monstrosity back into the shallows, Tokora blasted it again, hearing the breaking of metal-fused bones and the rupture of warped organs. Feverishly yanking back on the trigger, the Archmagos pulverized the abomination, crumpling armor, splattering brawny flesh, and smashing the Iron Warrior into a broken, shrieking thing, half buried in the trench. Swiftly releasing it from its mounting, Tokora slid the length of the grav cannon back down into the trench. Hobbling backwards through the waters, the Skitarius dragged the dead weight of the weapon with one bionic hand while carrying the cabled power pack with the other. There was no way that the Skitarii Ranger could wield the weapon without assistance, but Tokora wasn't going to let that stop him. As the Iron Warriors stormed the reserve trenches, smashing and blasting the cohorts of Skitarii defenders there into oblivion, Tokora hauled the grav cannon back to Gant. Checking the tech priest Dominus, he found that the stasis field generator had finally failed. The ancient tech priest sat in a small mound of interrupted shells and was quietly dying from those that had found their way through. Heaving the length of the grav cannon up onto a partially demolished wall, Tokora rested the barrel on the rubble. Dropping the power pack and cable into the water at his feet, the Archmagos knelt down and rested his shoulder against the weapon. The Skitarius's targeter was malfunctioning, but with the Iron Warriors taking their monstrous appetite for death and destruction into the reserve trenches, Tokora had the hulking abominations' backs to him. Peering down the length of the barrel, Tokora fired the heavy grav cannon. Pulling on the trigger and angling the balanced weapon on the wall, Tokora sent force blasts searing across the trench works at the Chaos Space Marines. Like the impact of invisible boulders, the grav blasts demolished Iron Warriors and broke their backs. The obliterators were knocked from their feet and had their armored legs swept out from under them. Several lost weaponized appendages and even heads to the irresistible force of the grav cannon. Tokora ducked as the Iron Warriors returned fire. The wall lit up with las cannon beams and balls of flesh-spawned plasma. Crawling away, the Archmagos felt the wall collapse and the grav cannon blasted to uselessness. Dragging himself next to the tech priest Dominus, Tokora sat against the trench wall and waited for death. The death of Ansis 86 Ultiga. The death of Theronymus Gant. The death of the Skitarii soldiers in the reserve trenches. It was only a matter of time now. The deep core mines would belong to the Iron Warriors. Tokora felt the thunder of approaching footsteps through Ortiga's battered frame. The trench waters rippled with the impact. Tokora saw that three hulking Iron Warriors had returned to finish Ortiga, each of their flesh-tangled arms a nest of spawned weaponry. It ended here for him, also, the Archmagos told himself. Without the deep core mines and the possibilities for victory they offered, Tokora knew that the war for Vulcanus Magna was lost. The Adeptus Mechanicus fleet could not go on forever without resupply and reinforcement. Idris Krendel could simply wait them out, holding out for the inevitable tipping point to come. Then he saw it. A smoke-sheened silhouette coming out of the darkness. As Ultiga's filters continued to cycle, Omnid Tokora could make out the colossal shape of a Warhound Scout Titan. The recalled Canis Corporalis, under the command of Princeps Venedict. It was the approach of the Titan that Tokora had felt.
Arch, Magos.
Theronomus Gant managed next to him, his smashed modulator reducing his voice to a wheezing hiss. The tech priest knew that Torcora was with them there, guiding the actions of Ansys 86 Ultiga.
Yes, tech priest Dominus,
Torcora said, the words spoken in the voice of the Skitari soldier.
Do what hast to be done,
the ancient said, lifting the spindly talon of a finger and pointing up at the Canis Corporalis. Torcora realized that Gant had also seen the Titan approach. As the hulking iron warriors lifted their warped weaponry, Omnid Torcora relayed his orders to Princeps Venedict on the cramped command deck of the towering warhound Titan. As he spoke, Ansys 86 Ultiga's lips moved also.
Princeps Venedict, this is your Archmagos, Torcora told him. Target trench works, breach, and enemy insurgents. Exercise extreme prejudice. Collateral losses are not a factor. I repeat, defending forces are expendable.
Like a giant metal predator, the warhound Titan turned on its identified targets. Presenting the Vulcan megabolters it mounted on each arm, it locked them forward of the thrusting command deck. Torcora heard the roll of thunder that was a pair of gargantuan firing mechanisms clearing. Suddenly, everything was ear-splitting sound as the rumble of massive shells thundered into the earth. The trench works disappeared as rubble and ash rocketed skyward. Gargantuan bolt rounds eviscerated the earthworks, emplacements and derelict carriers. The Skitari of the 51st Tenor Neutraloid rocketed upwards in fountains of blood, oil and shredded workings. Torcora watched as the stormquake of Magna Bore bolt shells ripped up through the reserve trenches. Within moments, the Iron Warriors were lost in a maelstrom of death and destruction that not even they had foreseen. The Archmagos watched as the obliterators aiming at him were blasted from existence. Within thunderous seconds of apocalyptic horror, Theronomus Gant and Ansys 86 Ultiga had joined them.
0011. Selected. Dentrica 1 of 1. Engage Neural Congress. Wireless Autoshunt acquired. Uploading. Electromancer.
Omnid Torcora woke. He had been dreaming. It was unusual for a tech priest of his augmentation and lineage. So much data flowed through his receivers and cogitator coils, however, that it was almost impossible for him to be truly at peace. Spooling code and information triggered odd fragments in his meme banks. Relayed pict feeds sometimes ghosted their way into his sleeping mind, like the spectral layering of crossed channels. Spending so much time in phylactic communion with others, living their thoughts and experiences, meant that sometimes Torcora unconsciously returned to past engagements, past victories, past failures, past deaths. He had been dreaming of Ansys 86 Ultiga and the Skitari soldiers of the 51st Tenor Neutraloid, servants of the Omnisire that Torcora had personally sanctioned to death, the apocalyptic gunfire of the Canis Corporalis, the decimation that ripped through the trenchworks of the Orticus Chasma, ash and dust, blood and oil, the maelstrom of monstrous bolt rounds shredding reality about them. The Archmagos had done only what was necessary. He had no doubt of that. Greater guilt than that weighed upon his conscience. Dark responsibilities. The unraveling fates of entire worlds. Torcora's bottomless appetite for data and secrets, ancient and terrible, had led him to Purboria and the Stella Zenithica, into the trap laid by Idris Krendel. The recovery of the Gelabom STC template. The construction and testing of such a device and the intended doom it had visited upon Torcora's home world. None of this would have been possible without the Archmagos and the eternal quest for knowledge, a quest Torcora had come to question. As the static of his optics cleared and his reactors warmed to operation, Torcora found himself in front of the baroque viewing port of his personal chambers. Through the armor glass screen,
busy with hololithic overlays and annotations, he saw the forge world of Velkonos Magna. Even from orbit, the price of war was evident. Entire districts were aflame. The twisted magnificence of temples had been swallowed by mountainous fortifications. Through the devastation, canals and furnace channels crisscrossed the mauled planet, burning to demonic brilliance as the Abyssra Dynamicron fed dark mechanicum forges and the never-ending demands of the tyrannical Iron Warriors. Omnid Tokora's personal servitors moved about the chamber in silence, fearful of waking their master from a fitful slumber within his hulking, sarcophagal suit. While he had slept, his servitors had silently obeyed their maintenance protocols, polishing the burnished clinker plates of Tokora's armor. The magna hydraulics of his legs and the heavy weapons cradles of his arms had been anointed with unguents of the holiest grades, while the monstrous weapons themselves had been blessed with consecrated oils. The tech priest's reactors had been charged and his power cabling stowed, while what remained of his long-butchered organics had been sustained with protein pastes, intravenously fed through a network of torso-plugged pipes and lines. As his systems came back online, dependent subsystems returning to life also, Tokora's chest-mounted multi-digits went to work within the pulpit. Even in the short time the Arch-Magos had been asleep, much had happened on the planet's surface. A world at war never slept. Objectives had been taken. Sieges had been broken. Thousands of warriors had died. Tokora's overlays became crowded with scrolling data reports, tether requests, picked feeds, and code streams. Cutting through them was the signature of a Vox mission in waiting. The communication bore the priority authorizations of the Skitari sentinels standing on either side of his chamber's entryway.
"Proceed," Tokora transmitted.
"I have members of the Luminan here requesting an audience, my lord," the Skitari sentinel outside the doors informed him. "Should I admit them?" Tokora should have been expecting the electro-priests of the Holy Luminan. The Brotherhood routinely demanded the Arch-Magos's attentions, having one problem or another with the way in which he was conducting war on the Omnisire's enemies, or utilizing the resources of the Adeptus Mechanicus. Originally advisers to the Fabricator General on Satsika Secundus, he had assigned them to the office of the Fabricator Locum and his mission to test the Geller device. Such a move suggested to Tokora that Vortikar Traeger did not trust his Fabricator Locum. During the manufacture of the Geller device, the Luminan had advised Engra Myrmidex on techno-spiritual matters, guiding him through their interpretation of the motive force and the sparks of life. Tokora suspected that the Fabricator Locum hadn't valued their input and creed-thumping insistence as much as the Luminan thought he needed it. Upon leaving Satsika Secundus at the head of the Adeptus Mechanicus fleet, Myrmidex had arranged for the convocation of electro-priests to be accommodated in chambers aboard the Maestral rather than the Fabricator Locum's flagship. With the death of Engra Myrmidex, the Luminan had become Torkora's problem.
"Admit them,"
the Arch-Magos ordered. The air hummed about Torkora with the energy flux of his reactors. Hydraulics and pistons fired, turning the tech priest and his sarcophagal suit around. From the cadaverous face hidden in the depths of his hood, Tokora's optics burned. The bulkhead door shuddered upwards and the party of Luminan entered. The electro-priests wore their full robes, the folds accommodating their dorsal generators and electrostatic halo capacitors. They drew back their robes out of respect, revealing heads that were shaven and flesh that glowed with charged subdermal circuitry. About their heads they wore blindfolds to hide the empty sockets of their eyes, for their eyeballs had long boiled away with the intensity of bioelectricity coursing through their bodies. Instead, they experienced the galaxy as a crackling vision of the motive force. They claimed to see only truth through such a gift, but Tokora knew them to be as manipulative and power-hungry as any other priest in the ranks of the Adeptus Mechanicus.
"Master Diademus, Master Pison, brothers all,"
Tokora greeted the Luminan.
"How can I be of assistance to you?"
The electromancers entered as a convocation, but soon split off to stand about their masters. Having the Luminan on board was trial enough for Tokora, the electro-priests attempting to advise, guide and question as they had done when meddling in the Fabricator Locum's affairs. Worse still, however, the convocation of priests was divided by faction. This meant that the Luminan, who claimed to see the true light of the Omnisire's intention, could not agree amongst themselves, let alone with Tokora. Attica Diodemus and Candisa Pierzon stepped forward, making the sign of intersecting knuckles in honour of the machine god. Master Diodemus was known as the Taketh. He was a Fulgurite by creed, and, like his priests, carried a capacitor stave that could leech machines, constructs, and base flesh alike of the power that sustained them. Batteries drained, bionics died, and hearts stopped beating at their command. While Diodemus was a miserly pedant who favoured the gathering of strength and the power of potential, Candesca Pison was a vessel of barely restrained righteousness. As master of the Corpus Cari, he was known as the Giveth. Along with the priests of his faction, he wore electrostatic gauntlets within the flared sleeves of his robe. With these, the Corpus Cari could visit the holy rapture of electrocution upon the machine god's foes, delivered through a living lightning that proceeded from the gauntlets.
"You can plot a course for Satzika Secundus," Attica Diodemus said.
"Why would I do that, Master Diodemus?" Tokora asked him. "Our enemies are here."
"Our allegiance is to Satzika Secundus and the Fabricator General," Diodemus said. "Our forgekin require our return and assistance."
"Satzika Secundus is lost to us," the Archmagos said. "It may have been our home once, but now it lies at the heart of an erupting warp storm."
"An anomaly you created, Archmagos?"
Diodemus accused.
"That the Fabricator General created, in ordering the construction of the Geller device," Tokora returned. "That the Fabricator Locum created with his hasty deployment of the device."
"You allowed the Fabricator Locum to perish," Candesca Pison said,
his words burning on the air,
"as you allow our forgekin to perish now."
"Hard data, Masters Luminen," Tokora said. "The servants of the machine god live or die by it. The Iron Warriors would have destroyed us all in their surprise attack through the sacrifice of the Fabricator Locum."
"And half of our fleet and Skitari legions," Pison snapped.
"I have averted disaster, learned much of our enemies, and taken advantage of both factors to visit the wrath of the Omnisire upon our foe."
"You have had half a year to prove such advantage, but here we are, Archmagos,"
Attica Diodemus interjected,
"fighting over a polluted world of darkness and ruin."
"Which is what we will find if we attempt to return to Satzika Secundus," Tokora said.
"We have consulted the Logi,"
Diodemus informed the Archmagos.
"We have heard the numbers speak. They tell us the same that they tell you, that the Iron Warriors cannot be defeated by a force of our size, by a force 10 times our size."
"And the Logi are right," Tokora said. "But they are not in full possession of all the variables."
"Meanwhile, the Fabricator General and the loyal constructs of the Forge World might be fighting for their souls, awaiting a return and reinforcement."
"It's too late for them."
"How can you know?" Candesca Pison asked.
"You agree with Master Diodemus,"
Tokora put to the Corpus Cari priest.
"I agree that the machine god's light needs to be brought to the darkness that lays siege to our home world."
"Once we have defeated our enemies here, the architects of our collective ruin," Tokora said, "then I promise you we shall return to Satzika Secundus, but not as liberators. We shall return to purge it of corruption."
"You would wage war against your own people?" Pison asked in outrage. "And turn against your Fabricator General?"
"Yes," Tokora told the convocation of priests, "for it would be heresy not to do so. Do you think the priesthood of Vulcanos Magna chose their fate? I can keep blockade runners from escaping the system and keep those who would twist our forgekin to their dark will from Satzika Secundus. The Iron Warriors and the Dark Mechanicum will not be their undoing. But our forge world turns beneath tainted stars, saturated by the corruption of the storm. Like the priesthood of Vulcanus Magna, they are lost. Flesh, iron, the very dirt of the forge world's surface will have been warped by the dread forces of the warp storm. We cannot save our compatriots' workings or their souls, for they are already part of the madness that infects the unreality in which they are immersed.
Where is your evidence?
Attica Diodemus said.
While I can blockade the planet, Tokora said, I cannot prevent messages being passed from Vulcanus Magna to our lost forge world. The freighter Astropathica has intercepted such messages being sent from the planet below. He has lost 2 astropaths to the mind-twisting madness of these communications and their interpretation. He believes, however, that they signify a suggested accord and a sharing of dark secrets and knowledge between the 2 fallen forge worlds. The Iron Warriors want both forge worlds under their boot. More importantly, the freighter Astropathica believes that he has intercepted an affirmation from Satzika Secundus in return.
I don't believe it,
Attica Diodemus said, looking to Master Pison.
The Fabricator General would never give in to corruption, Pison said. He would not become a thing untrue and lead his people into damnation.
Perhaps you're right, the Archmagos said. Perhaps Vortica Traeger no longer rules Satzika Secundus in the Machine God's stead. Ultimately, it really doesn't matter what you believe.
You cannot come between a construct and the motive force.
Candesca Pison warned Tokora.
No,
the Archmagos agreed.
But we can come between the Iron Warriors and Satzika Secundus. Help me destroy our enemy. The Forge World might be lost, but if Idris Grendel and his obliterati reach it, our people will forever be slaves to darkness. We can save them from that.
By murdering our forge kin, Pison said.
Perhaps you have been fighting the Iron Warriors long enough,
Diodemus added.
It seems you have developed a taste for wanton bloodshed.
They cannot be saved, Tokora told them.
Then construct another Geller device,